Good morning, Adelaide. 104.7 Triple M. You got your Dead Cert Legends in the hot seat too. 11:30 this morning. Tom Rockcliffe, Cal Ferguson, and Tomo heard some harrowing audio from the rush hour this week going after one of our own. We're going to get to that very, very shortly. But right now, Rocky, Port Adelaide too good last night. Got their mojo back.
Yeah, they were pretty good in the end. They ended up winning by 17 points. It wasn't their most complete performance of the season or for a period of time, but they were good enough to get the win. And they don't have to blow teams away. Now they just have to win games of footy, and they were able to do that last night. The Western Bulldogs started the game really well. They were on top all around the ground, and the thing that kept Port Adelaide in the game was they went inside 59 times in the first quarter for 5 goals, which the strike rate of that just doesn't happen. I think at one stage they were four goals from 5 entries. So their efficiency when they went inside 50 was really good, which I've ridden them a fair bit on this year so far. They look like they've straightened that up a little bit, which is good for them, and starting to play some good footy. So there's going to be some selection squeeze on moving forward. Now Charlie Dixon will play today in the sample down at Alberton Oval, and Orazio Fantasia, from all reports, is only a week away as well. So they're starting to get some troops back. But again, it was the names that we expect to play really well for Port Adelaide. Travis Boak came back in, and he just performed again. Yeah. Like he played his 100th game at Adelaide Oval last night. So he's the first player to do that out of a possible 102 games.
Unreal.
So his consistency, and that was his 60th win, and he had 30 disposals. He was best on ground, clearly, for me. Toddy Marshall up forward, he had a big third quarter, took those 4 contested marks, which sort of turned the game in Port Adelaide's favour. Around the centre square bounce, they were getting beaten up in that first half. The Bulldogs, McRae and Liberatore were really good, Norton down forward. But once they got that footy out of the middle and started to win that territory battle, they were really hard to stop in that second half. So it's good for Port Adelaide fans out there. You're starting to see some signs, and North Melbourne are waiting next week. So hopefully they can get to 4 and 5.
Rocky, I've talked and asked you a bit about the forward line structure and the movement going in at times throughout the season, and I'm looking forward to speaking to Tom Jonas about it. But from your perspective, has it been a really good opportunity to give some of these young forwards to work on their craft without Dixon there? And what's then the flow on once Dixon comes back in?
I think they've changed their game plan a little bit, to be honest with you, Ferg, the way they've moved the footy. We've seen them at the start of the season still trying to play with Charlie Dixon there. So there was no movement inside 50. They were just bombing it in and expecting Todd Marshall and Georgiadis and Finlayson to make a contest. But they can't do that. They're not those type of players. Their strength is the movement, the agility to get their opponents on the lead. So I think they've corrected a few of those things. And also having Robbie Gray back there deep inside 50. Yeah, yeah. Like, the defender gets nervous. He never loses his feet. He's so balanced. Yeah. And he just straightens them up as well. So it'll be interesting when Charlie comes back, whether they go to that bomb and put it on Charlie's head, get 3 to jump, and then the small forwards can crumb that. But last night, they were really good. Toddy was taking those contested marks.
He was brilliant.
Yeah.
He was, wasn't he?
He was really, really good, especially in that, I think it was the second quarter and even parts of that third quarter as well, when a sort of Port Adelaide were bridging the gap a little bit. He was the one that stood up. And they lost a couple down there as well when Crozier got subbed into the game. And they had Cordy up front, Luke Hodge kept on saying it, and Richo as well on the broadcast. Yeah. Why doesn't he move back? Because they were too small down there.
Yeah, they were. If you had to listen to the call on Triple N, which we were on,
we'll get to that shortly.
Their defence was undermanned. Alex Keith not there, so they were clearly undersized. And Port Adelaide played to their strengths. And as you said, Toddy, he's not renowned for his contested marking, but he took 4 in that third quarter and set the game up. And Sam Powell-Pepper, he didn't have a lot of the footy, but he was important at times in his 100th game for Port Adelaide.
I thought that was good. There was another. I thought the game sort of changed, and there was ebbs and flows with it all. I thought the umpiring as well. There was heaps of bloody deliberates or what's it called?
There was. I can't remember
what's it called. Let's have a listen to see how we called it on Triple.
What's he called here? Throw in. The ball goes out of play. That's deliberate. Or insufficient intent.
Have another go, Rock.
I thought I got away with that.
Well, the text came through from Big Source Jacobs.
Yeah, that's it. Don't worry. There's plenty of ears, mate. I wasn't listening, but someone was. Dead Cert Legends, 104.7, Triple M. Triple M, 14 minutes past 9 o'clock for your Saturday morning. Tom Rockliffe, Cal Ferguson and Tomo on the hot seat. Until 11:30, then Triple M will be rocking football. Now, there's been a little bit of friction between the Rush Hour and the Dead Set Legends, probably, well, since January, really.
Yes.
It's been on like Donkey Kong, and obviously you do a regular spot there every single Thursday, and you do it swimmingly. Rocky, you've been dominating that spot, but yes. Actually, something sort of happened, and you were talking about Fergie and Bluey. There seemed to be a bit of in-house fighting.
Yeah, there is, between the cricketers on the show, so Greg was, he was not happy with Ferg at all. Like, we sometimes get them mixed up, think they're the same person.
That's right. Twins.
They're very similar. But that global rush hour, he wasn't happy, and he wanted me to address it on air today with Ferg and say what's going on. So this is what happened.
Here's what he said on Thursday.
He's just gone off the radar. The coincidence is that when I sort of broke the news that...
So what's happened this week?
Nothing.
So you've asked him to play. You've asked him to play golf on Saturday.
I asked him if he wanted to play golf on because we got a late tee time. I got one spot available.
At what time?
12:44.
Okay. Yep.
So your show gets off here at 11:30. So you've got plenty of time to go down there.
Yeah.
He took a long time to get back to me, and when he did, he just said it was just a thumbs down.
Okay. Oh no! So a bit of in-house fighting. Yep. So 12:44, you got invited to play golf today. And what do you say about that, Fergie?
Yeah, I did. Well, I had to get back to him, and I did have to give him the thumbs down. It's an exciting day for the Triple M crew actually today. We had a message come through a few weeks back from our producer and also the boss Matt O. Just letting us know about the work drinks that were coming up. Now, they were coming up today on the 7th. And when the text came through from Blue, and now this isn't just our team here with the Dead Set. This is the entirety.
The whole content team.
That's right. Absolutely. And I was a little, perturbed by the message that came through. I was like, well, hang on a second. I'm pretty sure I've got something on Saturday. So I'll ring the boss and just make sure because... Yeah. I might have got it wrong. So anyway, rang Matto and he said, no, the whole crew has been invited. So the Rush Hour boys, backstage crew.
Yeah.
Great. Okay, no worries. So I sent Bluey the message back and, told him I couldn't make it. Now, I'm not sure what Bluey was doing, but I said, is Bluey invited? Rush Hour got, yes, they're invited
they're
as
in.
Well.
Yeah.
Right. What the hell's Bluey doing? Anyway, I said to Matto, well, Bluey's clearly not coming today.
Not coming.
Well, he's asking me if I can play golf. What was his response? He asked Benny, the producer, for the Rush Hour, and he said, I won't be able to make those drinks. Saturdays are mine, mate.
Oh, no. Come on, Blue.
And he's wiped us off like a dirty ass.
Seriously, fobbed us off. The drinks start at 12:30, and he's tearing them up at 12:44, which is not on. But he went after you last night on the Rush Hour as well, Rocky.
He did not.
He did. He doesn't miss our boy, Blue. Have a listen to this.
Triple M calling tonight, Brendan Yates.
Yes.
Ditz.
Yes.
Chris, our Ditz, he's my favourite caller.
Yeah,
and Yater. Special
Yater.
Comments, Roo.
Yeah.
Don't.
Tom Rockliffe.
Roo's
no,
good.
I love Roo. I know, he'd be listening, Rupert.
Yeah.
And then Biggles down on the boundary line. What happened to
Hang
you
on
the boundary line?
Hang on. Why is Biggles doing the boundary line? He's gone from calling to doing the boundary. And Rocky's gone from being crap at everything. He's doing
whack. You can't say that about Rock.
He's doing special comments.
Rock's out.
They crossed to him last week, and his big line was, I've just eaten three cheeseburgers down here.
And he had two.
That was it.
But he eaten four. He forgot one.
Oh, that's a bit stiff, Rock.
Well, Bluey, he doesn't understand radio craft.
No.
So McDonald's are clearly a huge sponsor, so they need a plug.
And beautiful.
If you listen to the footy call, there's always a little sponsor mentioned.
That's right.
That's why Bluey got the flick.
Yeah.
Well, is it because
there's a few reasons.
Is that why you got the arse, or is it because of this?
Todd Marshall out. Tyson Temple, sorry. Get $100 off your first order. Yeah. Clean bill of health.
Hang on, Ferg. During the Crickle M trip...
Let's go to Greg from Seafood Meadows.
Yeah. He's having a shocker, Blue.
Oh, no. Come on, Blue.
Shocking week.
Triple M. 23 minutes away from 10 o'clock for your Saturday morning there, Adelaide. The Dead Set Legends, Tom Rockliffe, Cal Ferguson, and Tomo in the hot seat to 11:30. Then Triple M rocking football. A prank. HR has contacted Tom Rockliffe.
Oh, no.
We got him throughout the week. He clipped absolutely everyone in the building here at Triple M. but me and you, Ferg, and we're the ones that set it up. See, I'm just a little bit of a teaser. He went after the great Mark Rusciuto.
Oh, there's no doubt he's been carried for a number of years in everything that he's done. I think he would think that he's been carrying Chris Tipper for a few years. It's quite the opposite.
We're going to play that full break after 11 o'clock this morning.
I've been stitched up.
But right now, boys, we want to talk about athletes in the modern game and if they're, sort of losing their identity a little bit.
Yeah, it's on the back of Nick Robinson made some comments. Footy clubs force their hand on players. Players lose their identity and define themselves as footballers. It's terrible when you leave the system, then it's a breath of fresh air. So I tend to agree with him a fair bit. We jump over players if they show any personality, and we've seen a little bit at Collingwood at the moment with Ginnivan going out and having a few beers. Yes, he shouldn't have done it on a six-day break, but now that there's a bit of talk around it, they're telling him how he should celebrate goals.
Yeah.
Oh, dear. Hang on.
Then now we're starting to go into some sort of different territory.
Don't we love personalities in the game, and we belt people around if they actually have an opinion on things? So that's why you end up with robots, and people go, oh, the game's not as good as it used to be. They're all like robots out there. Well, aren't we doing that to the players?
Yeah, I quite liked Kenny's response when Xavier Duursma a few years ago started the bow and arrow. Yeah. Like, I quite like that. It's character. It adds personality to the game. It's something to talk about. And Kenny got right around it and said, look, he's just showing his personality out there. Fair play to him. And I like that view on things rather than, you know, some of the people in the media, particularly early in the season when the young Collingwood players got the GoPro in their hand. There was a lot of nasty stuff around those young players, and I didn't like that. And hasn't Ginnivan come out and shown what for?
Yeah, absolutely. So this Nick Robinson as well, obviously. So do you reckon he'd be making these comments if he played more than 70 games and he was still in the system right now? If he has 250 next to him and he's had a real successful career, I don't think he makes these comments.
I think he does.
Because, you reckon?
Yeah. From personal experience, I certainly say more now that I've finished.
Yeah.
And I feel like sometimes you're hamstrung a little bit. You can't say exactly what you want to. And I understand why. You've got to protect sponsors of the footy club, and you can't be out there bagging the umpires or bagging the game. So I understand that. But you can have an opinion on things. So when we get people on, I love talking to people when they come on, players now, that actually have an opinion on things.
Yes,
like,
yep.
We don't want players to sit there and give us, oh, 1 week at a time.
Yeah, I agree.
Next week's really important. Give us some insight into what's going on. And I think that's what the fans love. They enjoy the personality side of it. But I think it's fair that you take that away, and players certainly would be restricted in what they can do for a period of time. And you're probably the same, Ferg, but there's certain things you can't do, Tomo, when you're an AFL player, which we understand. They don't encourage you to go water skiing and different stuff like that. So I think you do lose a bit of your identity when you play footy, and it's a valid point for mine.
Yeah, it's definitely the same across the board. It doesn't really matter what sport you play. It'll be frowned upon if you're a little bit different. And certainly Nick Kyrgios sees that week to week, doesn't he, within the tennis space. John McEnroe used to see it from a tennis point of view as well.
Jason Akermanis one. That springs to mind.
Was another one, wasn't he? So there's been plenty in the past. Shane Warne, during his playing days, used to cop a little bit as well. So, look, I feel like we need the personalities in the game. It brings attention to the game. It adds character to it. And I think we've got to encourage it.
Well, I think you're right. And me and you last week, Ferg, when the comments were made by Charlie Dixon calling it an absolute shit show that Port Adelaide went to Sydney and that, and we sort of jumped all over it straight away. We would rather those comments probably internally rather than giving an excuse. In the end, Port Adelaide go up there, they get the job done. But that's him being himself.
Yeah, so again, we weren't in agreement with what he was saying, but we loved that he was willing to say, make his point
That's
publicly.
Right.
So you don't have to agree with everything that these players do. But if we jump over all over them to the point of, you know, discouraging them saying anything publicly, then we start to take away from the game, and we start to take away from the characters, and we end up with the crowbots again.
Yep, great goal.
Absolutely, we have. And if you start telling players how they can celebrate goals, we've gone way too far. The fans love it. I've seen Port Adelaide players give it plenty last night when they were kicking goals.
Yeah, great. Well said, mate. Passion. Well said. Love to hear the Triple M's family as well. 0488 51047 is the text line. Jay-Z Clark is going to join us next. Might have some news about Matty Crouch as well. So we'll get to him very, very shortly. Tommy Jonas, join us after 10. Triple M.
Triple M's Dead Set Legends. AFL newsbreaker, Jay Clark.
Clarky, good morning to you, mate. How are you going on this lovely Saturday morning?
Yeah, pleasure to be with you as always. I tell you what, winter has certainly hit in Melbourne. It is freezing and cold and wet all week. Jesus, a miserable joint at times, isn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Now, probably the biggest story of the week, it came out here in South Australia as well, mate. The umpire abuse of the females. Yeah. This is vile. It's disgusting. What are your thoughts, please?
It's the most important. It's the footy story of the year, this. And if you haven't read the reports today, so breaking today, a group of female umpires have basically detailed the abuse, the disgusting abuse they've received over their umpiring careers, particularly in the western region, the western part of Victoria. And I tell you what, it is absolutely sickening. So people from over the boundary lines, when the ball goes over, throwing the ball away from the girls so they have to bend over to pick it up.
Yeah.
The ladies being spat on, sworn at, followed, threatened. Like, it is, for everyone out there who's got a sister or a daughter, and you think, oh, maybe this would be something good for them or whatever, it just would make you think, no way. And for some reason, and this is on the administration and everyone who participates in this sort of behaviour, it has been allowed to fester. Like, we've all gone to the footy, the local footy, and heard this sort of abuse from over the boundary lines, and it's on all of us because it's been allowed to increase and allowed to continue. And the courage of these women who have spoken out with their names, you know, in the paper today, and sort of said that, there's one part where this one umpire talks about how basically her umpire's coach sort of said, well, yeah, now we get to sleep together, sort of thing. Like, at the end of the season. If you haven't read it, read it, because it is absolutely harrowing. And I just commend the female umpires who have spoken out about it, because it's shocking.
Absolutely disgusting, that behaviour. But I want to take you over to Perth. I enjoy a beer more than most, particularly after a game. But West Coast, a few boys have got themselves into a bit of trouble over there.
And if you haven't been to the hippie club, you sort of need to get there, because it is a great joint. It can suck you in at the best of times. Like, the Eagles, the statement was incredibly strong, wasn't it? They were devastated, they were furious, they're disappointed, they're angry. Josh Rotherman, Jackson Nelson went out into the you know, a packed nightclub. Jackson Nelson now has got COVID. Another outbreak forces 8 changes. They're already on their knees, West Coast, as a football club. But can I just flip the coin for 1 second, right? Is it fair to expect AFL players to commit so much discipline and sacrifice? Like, are they now not allowed to have any sort of social life? Like, they had an 8-day break, these boys. And I know it's easy to pile in and say how disappointing and they should be at home or whatever, but I just wonder to what extent these players are allowed to have any sort of life. Or do we just expect them to live under a rock for 6 months?
No, I don't.
What's fair or not?
Yeah, I don't think we expect them to live under a rock. When you've been belted by 109 points, and particularly in a footy state, I think it'd be important to get together and have a beer. But I reckon they should have probably done it at their house or at the footy club, had a barbecue together, had a couple of quiet beers. It's not a great look, but yeah, you're right. We've taken the personalities away from every footballer for the last 10 years, I think, Jay, and they've just been caught up, unfortunately. But I'd prefer to see that behind closed doors and be out and about.
You can still have fun with the old-fashioned lock-in.
That's right. Yes, I love a good old-fashioned lock-in.
And Jay-Z, Matty Crouch got the axe this week. There's got to be some interest around the comp. He's been playing some good footy.
Well, the thing is, right, so we had this discussion last year when he signed a 2-year deal, and no Victorian clubs, for all the talk about him coming home, et cetera, and Essendon need an on-baller, the interest wasn't that strong. So what I'm saying here is that things will have changed from a Victorian club perspective, because this conversation's come up before, and then there was no real suitors. So
there was some injury concerns around him last year, though, wasn't there? He struggled to get up.
Yeah, the groin. But I think, I don't think he is on the top of clubs' wish list at the moment. So I think if there is interest at the end of the year, I think it would be sort of medium. I don't think there's going to be the blockbuster trade. I don't know that he's considered an elite player, an A-grader anymore. Isn't Crouch an A-grader?
Is Crouch an A-grader? I think he was, absolutely. I don't know if he's quite there right now, though, Jay-Z.
His contest work around the footy is as good as anyone when he's up and going, and we know he's not a great kicker or a long kicker, a little bit similar to myself, but his hands are elite. He puts those runners into space, so he's probably just lost that a little bit.
Well, if any club, you look at, I know we've talked a lot about Essendon, but they need someone to help Darcy Parrish win at hard footy because they do have a lot of players on the outside. So if there is an obvious candidate, maybe it's Essendon, but they weren't interested last year.
Yeah, and before we let you go there, Jay-Z, it's good to see the great Dustin Martin return today against the Collingwood Football Club.
Going to be every game against Collingwood at the MCG today. Those two teams don't like each other. They haven't for a decade, so it's going to be fantastic. And Dusty, I mean, I think Richmond people are saying, look, let's not expect the world of him. But, gee, they're impressed by the condition he stayed in. So I think we're going to see him kick some goals, play forward today, and I think he'll be celebrated for his term because let's face it, we all love watching him.
Yeah, bloody oath. You're a good man, Jay-Z. Enjoy the rest of your weekend, mate.
Good on you, boys.
Jay-Z.
Triple M. 104.7 on the dial, or you can get us on the listener app as well, LISTN. Very, very lucky right now to speak to the skipper of the Port Adelaide Football Club as they, well, not runaway winners, but just over about 3-goal last night. Too good for the Western Bulldogs. Tommy Jonas joins us right now. G'day, Teej. How are you, mate?
Winners do, boys, because 3 weeks ago we would have been very happy with that.
Yep.
Result, and we were happy again last night.
Yeah, I love it, mate. Firstly, obviously, up and about after last night, but how did you pull up personally?
Yeah, like I said, off air, I didn't do a lot last night. I sort of was running around with like a spare penis, so the other boys sort of took care of it and had plenty of ball in the forward half, which is always nice, so feeling pretty fresh.
No, it's good to have you on after a win. You always front up when you're not winning, so we love having you on after a win. I just want to take you back. Jeremy Finlayson said last night that there was an all-in meeting when the group was at 0-5. Can you take us in what happened there and the form out of that's been really good the last 3 weeks?
Yeah, I suppose it got to a point where we were getting near enough but not quite getting over the line, so we really drilled down on what it was going to take to go a little bit further, and out of that just came a significant focus on team first defensive behaviours, and that's basically been it. I mean, footy hasn't been perfect the last 3 weeks, but because of those repetitive behaviours and being able to make it harder for the opposition to score, it sort of set us up and being able to sort of get us over the line.
And TJ Ferg here, mate. Look, it seems like there's a bit of sparkle coming through the midfield, and Rosie's probably had a big part to play in that. Bonner off half-back carved them up through the middle. Unfortunately, looked a bit sore towards the back end of the game. But it certainly seems like there's a bit of bite about the midfield again. And do you think that Connor Rosie's had a big part to play in that?
Yeah, it's amazing what a bit of confidence can do, particularly for young players. And I think Rose, firstly, he needed to get the opportunity, but also needed to show that he was up for it and deserved it. And he sort of grabbed the ball by the horns, and he's gone from there. So, yeah, you know, you get blokes like him and Buttsy through there, it's going to make us a better side. So, you know, they're young. They're going to have times when they're maybe not quite at their best, but, you know, you can see the talent they've got, and they've got that on full display right now.
No, it's good to see them get going, because I was starting to get fit because I thought I might be a chance for the mid-season draft to slip back into that midfield.
Mate, you're a long way off it, even just general life.
Now, TJ,
maybe for the coasters tonight, mate.
Has the game style changed a little bit from where it was last year? You're the number one kick team coming out of defence now, the kick-to-handball ratio. So you're not inviting the opposition pressure. You're kicking your way out. But the last month, you've got your front half game going again. So have you tinkered with anything game style-wise?
Yeah, we probably trained a fair bit of overlap handball in off-season. Early in the year, that wasn't quite working for us. So we've tried to take the pressure off a bit by finding a mark and making the opposition defend, and also going a bit more direct to one-on-ones and the contest. So getting the ball out of there and giving those talented mids that we've got an opportunity. And, you know, we're becoming really predictable to ourselves. So more often than not, if you have the work rate, you can get there, get an out number and know where it's going, get it going your way.
And the key forwards have come back in form, but I think it's a little bit to do with ball movement, because you're not bombing it on their heads like we've seen in the past, where you've got Finlayson starting to get some gap on his opponent and Robbie Gray down there doing his thing as well.
Yeah, when you get shoulders out and you can hit the boys up on a bridge uncontested, that certainly helps. As well as spending more time playing together. I mean, Jez came across from GDIS and probably expected to have Mick there at the start of the year. That wasn't the case. So they're just getting to know each other and starting to see the benefits of that. And I think there was some, you know, when we talked about the expectations a few weeks ago, there were some clear expectations on those boys' jobs. Yes, you're going to get some better looks, hopefully, but also there's a time when you just have to halve a contest or kill the ball over the line. I thought Jez was fantastic in that aspect last night.
You must be pumped for Toddy Marshall as well. He just got absolutely smashed in the media at the start of the year. Just clunked City last night. Four massive grabs.
Brilliant.
Yeah, and you reflect on Toddy's last month. He's been bloody solid. It started in the showdown, and he got some great return last night. And, you know, it's unfortunate that everyone sort of looks at Todd and, you know, he becomes a whipping boy when, you know, really he cares about the team as much as anyone. And, you know, we love playing with him, and we've always backed him up on that. We've never shied away from the fact, you know, that we love him, and it's good to see him getting some outside recognition.
The troops are starting to come back, and Charlie Dixon will play today down at Alberton Oval. And we heard Orazio Fantasia train the house down yesterday at Alberton as well. So they're probably back in the mix, and it's scary forward line again now.
Yeah, it'd be good for Big Mick. He's obviously had a tough trot, and just get out there and blow a few cobwebs out, maybe spray a few blokes, but it'd be nice to get him back. And Raz is the other one. I mean, you'll probably break it on the podcast before I know about it. But he's had a lot of setbacks, and I think it'll be just nice for him to get back and enjoy playing footy.
TJ, look, things seem to be going swimmingly at Hey Diddle Wines, and Tomo's been a little bit dirty that the rush hour desk seems to be flush with Hey Diddle Wines at the minute and not the Dead Set Legends desk. He's just waiting for a few samples to come our way.
And Tex Walker as well.
Yeah, Texan's not getting any, is he? Are you serious?
The big Texan, check out his Instagram following, boys. But nah, in all seriousness, get in the studio on Saturday morning and I'll run you through them all. Face to face, I'll give
tasting.
You the executive experience. All right,
I like that, TJ. And what's the go this afternoon? Obviously, we move into an 8-day. Actually, I see we got North Melbourne next week, so 17-day break.
Dear me.
So just an average weekend. Yeah. Mother's Day tomorrow, so shipping Mill off to EOS for the night, and I'm going to be one out with the tackers at home. Oh, so send me any help you've got lying around, and any prayers and best wishes.
Love your stuff, TJ. You always jump on, mate, and it's a privilege to have you on the Dead Set Legends.
Nah, cheers, boys. Good to talk to you.
Thanks, TJ.
Beautiful. There he is, the skipper of the Port Adelaide Football Club, Tommy Jonas, coming up after 10:30. Brian Taylor's going to join us. Our man Rock has been lacing his pockets with some serious cash in Kangaroo Island. We're going to get to the bottom of that after 10:30. Also, there's a prank call. Rocky and the Gun again after 11. What the hell? Dead Set Legends. Triple M. Triple M, 104.7 on the dial. You can get us on the listener app as well, LISAT, and make sure you download that. Coming up after 11 o'clock, a prank call that we tried to direct in Tom Rockliffe's way. We got a lovely Michelle on from Triple M Perth to act like she was part of HR because he's just been clipping absolutely everybody. And, here's a little snippet. We'll play the full thing out after 11.
Oh, there's no doubt he's been carried for a number of years in everything that he's done. I think he would think that he's been carrying Christy Hart for a few years. It's quite the opposite.
He went after Mark Rasciutto there for no reason whatsoever.
Unprovoked.
No reason whatsoever. We're going to play that full prank out after 11 o'clock. But right now, let's preview the Adelaide Football Club as they take on Carlton tomorrow there, Rocky.
Yeah, Marvel Stadium, 4:10 here, all the action live here on Triple M. This is a game that concerns me for the Adelaide Crows. So we've spoken at length about where they're at. They've been building nicely, but their game's purely built on stoppage. And they're the number one front half stoppage team. So they get a lot of stoppages in their front half of the ground. They've been really good from centre square bounce. They're number four in the competition for score the last month. But you take that away from them, which the Giants did last week, and they blew them off the park. You take the stoppage game away from the Adelaide Crows, and they're gone at the moment. They can't defend and lock the ball in. They're very good at stoppage, but other than that, they've got some question marks on their game. They're taking on Carlton, who were number one in the competition for centre bounce score and clearance side in the competition. So you're taking on the very best. And then they're also the number one team from scoring from stoppage in the competition for the whole year versus their opposition. So if Carlton get hold of the Crows in this game, particularly around stoppage, I really worry about the Adelaide Crows.
So, Rocky, in particular, is Marvel a concern on top of all of this stuff? So these stats, you know, are big in any situation, but when you get to a high-scoring venue like Marvel, is it particularly concerning?
Yeah, it is, and particularly centre bounces there. You know that it can be tapped out to the ruck, and the way they play, Carlton, Cribbs will get it, give it to Walsh, and they'll be running inside 50 shoulders out, and then you've got Kerno, got Mackay, they've got really dangerous forwards. So the concerning thing, as I said before, the Crows have been able to get it inside 50, but they're not scoring from that. So they're 16th in the competition for scores when they enter 50, and then the ball rebounds, pings back out. And a ground like Marvel, it just zings back the other way. If you're not on defensively and you're not set up, it's really hard place to play.
Two things for me. So I don't 100% trust Carlton yet. I'm not quite there. I'm not quite there. I think that performance against the Port Adelaide Football Club, yes, they were good enough to hang on, but I don't quite trust them 100%. I'm not all in on them. The second thing I want to talk about, Rock, and I want to hear your thoughts on this, do the Crows put some time into a Cripps or a Walsh? It doesn't really seem like it's part of their repertoire at the moment, but what would you do moving forward? Because Cripps is on fire.
Yeah, he's probably polled 15 Brownlow votes out of the 5 full games that he's played. So he's been best on ground in everyone. He's touching it 30 times, then kicking 2 or 3 goals, which... he's off the charts at the moment, and for me, it's got to be Ben Keys. He's captain in the team this week. He's done it in the past where he can play that lockdown. He's finding plenty of the footy, and he's developed into a very, very good player, but his ball use isn't great. It's not at the absolute elite level of ball users through the midfield. So for me, I look at that team and I go, Ben, you're going to captain the team today.
Yep.
You go out, get the job done on their captain for us. Mm. It goes a huge way to us winning the game. So I think they have to put time. I think they would have spent a lot of time and energy this week around stoppages to make sure they're sound and they take away Carlton's strength. But as you know, once those boys get going, it can be really hard to stop.
And the last one, what's Jimmy Roeder to piss off the Adelaide Footy Club? Because I can't get my head around that. Every time he's out there, his forward pressure, I think, is way up there, and he provides a spark. When the footy's around him, it seems like he's really on the outer after a great week last week in the Sanford.
Well, we talked about it earlier in the year. We actually thought he was using the ball nicely, going inside forward 50 and picking guys out and you know, providing plenty of zing around the contest in the forward 50. But we were quite surprised when he got dropped in the first place. Yeah. Had a great weekend on the weekend and can't find a way.
Yeah, so the knock is on him that he doesn't pressure inside 50.
Enough,
it doesn't pressure enough, but his ball in hand, he's as good. Him and Taylor Walker are the two people that you want kicking the ball inside 50, and we obviously know Tex plays a bit deeper, so you actually want him probably marking it. So to have Jimmy Rowe kick the ball to him, because they don't have a lot of great users there, I don't know what he's done. He's upset someone, but they just need to find a bit of form. That we know they got blown away against the Giants last week. Rochelle, I think he might be one to go through the middle a little bit. They tried it in patches last week, and he's shown that he can do that. So there's some upside to them. Billy Frampton's playing some really good footy down back for him as well.
I love it. Brian Taylor to join us very, very shortly. We're going to get to the bottom of what the hell happened on Monday, because our boy Rock flew overseas to Kangaroo Island on a fishing trip. We're going to get to that.
Flight, we're hearing.
What was it?
Oh my God.
Private jet.
We'll get to that in the next 15. Triple M. 104.7 Triple M Dead Set Legends. Tom Rockliffe, Cal Ferguson and Tomo here. The Dead Set Legends rolling through until 11:30 this morning. Now, Fergie, our boy Rocky has taken off this week overseas on an all-paid-for fishing trip to Kangaroo Island. Can you believe it?
Lining the pockets again.
Yep, seriously.
Rocky.
Telstra have sponsored it, and I'm hearing Rocky has milked the living guts out of him.
Nothing sure.
He's attended this cash-only event with broadcasting royalty and Triple M's very own Brian Taylor, who joins us now. BT, hello, mate.
Boys, how are you?
we're good, thank you. But we've got our investigation caps on because, seriously, you spent a whole day with Rocky. We spent 2.5 hours, and, we certainly have enough of him.
Yeah, well, I tell you what, never again. Never, ever again. Rocky took me to this place. What's it called? Kangaroo Island Fishing Adventures. Nice place, nice harbour. Mate, the waves are about 40 foot high. There's no way. You know, the harbour was getting bombed by big king waves, and there's no way knowing I was jumping on any size boat to go through that shit.
Well, BT, that was going to be my next question, mate, because I was scanning through all the vision, all the footage, and I couldn't see a rod in your hand at any stage, let alone any water around you.
Listen, I found out very quickly that it didn't need to board the boat to catch fish. That harbour had plenty of fish in it. Hadn't ever been fished by anyone, and I caught more fish than they caught on the boat anyway.
I got
3 big jewfish the size of a mini miner. You know? Unreal. unreal. So I don't know what Rocky going out there just to bloody act tough or something.
Yeah, we came back in and you had these little fish that you had to throw back. They were unedible. You had to put them back in the water. They said, do not eat them. But, Brian, you're the star of the show. I'm probably being paid a lot of money for that, probably 50,000. I've got a pint of Coke to go over. And I had to do all the work.
Oh, mate. Look, I got seasick on the pontoon, didn't I, Rocky?
Yeah, did.
I was on the pontoon trying to board the boat, and it was just rocking a little bit, and I got seasick there. So I am no chance on the boat.
BT, my mail is, because Rocky has had a fair old off-season, that they actually used him as the anchor.
Well, yes, he's got that look about him. There's plenty of ballast there, and you know, even it was an 80-foot boat, and they said when it's tipping a bit, Rocky, could you go on the other side? So, he's certainly got a bit of density about him.
Now, Brian, let's straighten up a little bit. You were over here last night to call the game. How did you see that? Port Adelaide were impressive in the end to walk away with that win.
Yeah, they were, got a bit of contested footy back, and they looked the goods again, I reckon. Port, they turned the corner, three in a row. Look, got, who have they got? Someone, North Melbourne next week as well.
So the bye.
Yeah, the bye. They've got two byes coming up in the next month. So they'll bowl them over. I think they've got Essendon in the next 3 weeks as well. So they actually are a chance to get their season back on track, but it's too late to make top four now for them, so... We'll see what happens, but I thought they were pretty impressive last night. I'm just not sure about the Dogs. Just talking to JB in the lounge here before, and we're just wondering whether they've just lost that. You know, like coaches sometimes can wear you out a bit, and I wonder whether they've just lost a little bit of their intensity as a result.
Yeah, it's interesting. Obviously, Bevo had a tough start to the season, looked a little stressed out in the presses, that's for sure. And BT, I'm interested in your thoughts on the two Friday night games. I didn't even realise the second game was on until about half time of the game you were calling.
Yeah, this is all to do. This is something to do with getting the necessary, is it 5 or 6 day breaks, so that they can have more flexibility in the fixture towards the end of the year. So that is why they've been doing double headers. That's my information. Why they've been doing a couple of double headers this year is to try and clear the way for that.
Now, we don't have you for long, Brian, but I do need to touch on Bernie Vince. I need you to talk us through how you think he's performing on TV more so than radio.
Bernie should give it away immediately. he's not what I thought he was, Bernie. All he does is laugh at JB's jokes, and they're not funny. And, you know, JB writes all his stuff for him, and he's just full of crap. Bernie just bludges off everyone. And now I'm disappointed in Bernard, but special comments, he's been sort of okay, but soft.
Real operator. Sounds like a real brown noser too, BT, behind the scenes from what you're describing there. Not only that, though, calling over the top of the callers.
Yeah, come on.
He's messed up everyone's highlights. And he's JB's little PA, you know, that's the way we sort of view it. He's the PA to JB because... you know, he's just got that in his makeup. He's a little PA sort of operator. And that's where he's at, I think. I think he'll end up at administration.
HR or something like that.
And BT, before we let you go, what are your thoughts on the 100 footy shows on Fox Footy that are rolling around at the moment?
Oh, Jesus. What about it? What's that thing called at the end of the night?
Best on ground.
Oh, no.
Best on ground, worst on ground, maybe closest to on ground. You know, post-war, the war room, the not-so-war room. You know, Sarah's got her own show. Tell me what you think. There are shows, 35 shows, all discussing the same thing, all using the same talent going around in circles. A weird bunch there, I tell you.
Strange.
I don't know who comes up with the names.
Oh, God. BT, thank you so much for joining us on the Dead Set Legends on this Saturday morning. You're good, man.
Good on you, boys.
Thanks, Bristol.
Oh, wow. Wasn't that fantastic to have Brian Taylor on? And I'll tell you what, he didn't miss many at all. This is Triple M's Dead Set Legends with Tom Rockcliffe, Cal Ferguson, and Tomo. And off the back of that, because you went fishing with the great man this week, Rocky, we're going to open up the phones right now. 1-3-3-5-3. Who would you love to hang out with for a day and have a few beers with? It could be absolutely anyone in the world. Who's the one person at the top of the bucket list and go, boom, I'd love to have a few beers and hang out with them, because you are a massive fan of Brian Taylor yourself, Rock.
Yeah, I am. I got to spend the day with Brian. I was just in awe of him all day. I would have been pestering him at the end, asking him that many questions. So it would have been very nice if we had had the night over there, sit in front of the fire and have a few cold ones, fishing and just pick his brain for hours on end.
What about you if you had the opportunity there, Ferg?
Yeah, oh, look, it's a tough one. I'd love to catch up with someone like Tiger Woods, even Pat Rafter. When I was growing up, I used to love Pat Rafter, and he looked like he enjoyed a beer himself. So,
yeah, for sure.
They were a couple, but I actually had a chance to catch up with one of my childhood heroes, Tim Cahill, in Manchester. Yeah. Now, we were playing an ODI series over there against England. I think we were about 4-0 up at that stage. Yep, but took it to Manchester, and Brett Lee just flicked us a message at about 5 in the afternoon, said, be ready, dress nicely at about 7. We're heading out. And I was like, oh, well, who else is in the text? Well, Tim Payne, myself, Brett Lee, and I reckon Mitchell Johnson might have been. anyway, so got down there at about 7, and two black unmarked vans pull up out the front.
Wow.
Which very. So anyway, the door opens. There's Timmy hanging out the door. Boys, boys, jump in, jump in. Security gets out, keeps an eye out on what's going on in the front van. We get in the back one, and then they take off in an orderly fashion. And we're like, where are we heading, Timmy? Oh, yeah, just heading to a bar around the corner a mate of mine owns. Get out. There's a huge lineup. Like, the lineup was, you know, as far as the eye could see.
Yeah, right.
Tim's security says, wait in the vans. You know, I'm going to go up and get the boys organised. Speaks to the security, comes back. Right, we're good to go in. We walk past this lineup. Brett Lee's picking girls out of the line to come in. it's all happening. We rolled in there. There's sparklers coming out of bottles of Verve and all sorts coming our way. It was incredible. Great night out.
Oh, that's fantastic. Righto, let's open this up on 133353. Who would you love to spend the day with, Adelaide, and have a few beers with? 133353. We've got double passes to the Crows and the Brisbane Lions, if you don't mind. Double passes to give away and $100 Faster Pasta vouchers. This is brilliant. All your favourites. Delicious and all in one place. Faster Pasta. 133353. Hit the phones right now, Adelaide. Who is the one person, dead or alive, we could take if you want to have a few beers with?
And how lucky are you, Tomo? You get to hang out with me every Saturday morning.
133353. Hit us up. Who's the one person you'd like to spend the day with and have a couple of frothies? Take your calls next. Triple M. Triple M. 104.7 on the dial, or you can get us on that listener app as well. Make sure you download that LISTNR. We are smack bang in the middle of a phone topic, and the phone topic is, who would you want to spend one day with? You can have a few tins with them, dead or alive, this person, because Rocky, childhood hero.
Yes, Brian Taylor. Yeah. I got to spend the day with him, went fishing, did a bit of work with him, but the board absolutely lit up, and they all said Tom Rockliffe, so we had to cut a couple of callers off.
What is this?
what are we dealing with this man?
Something's happened with him.
Now, we heard from Fergie. He talked about everyone and anyone. Big
names.
Famous people. Who would you like to spend the day with?
Mate, I'd love a few beers. I would, just anything, really. I'd love to spend the day with Ricky Ponting. And you could just go through some of those old school, and I'm talking like a proper session too.
Oh, yeah.
And you could just bring up, you know, those twin tons that he made in his 100th. Test there, Fergie. There would be so many. I think Ricky Ponting would be a beauty.
I reckon if you got him to a TAB, you'd make some cash while you're doing it as well. Wow.
And early days, he'd have some good stories because he was wild.
We're known, obviously known as Punter, and
that's it.
I think it'd be brilliant. 133353. Hit the phones right now, Adelaide. Who's the one person you'd like to spend the day with? You can have a couple of beers with. We've got double passes to give away. The Crows take on the Brisbane Lions. It is next Saturday, actually. 7:10 at Adelaide Oval. Tickets on sale now at tickettech.com.au. 133353 as we head out to Craigmore. We got Paul there. G'day, Paul.
How you going, guys?
Yeah, good, mate. Great. Who's the one person you'd love to have a couple of beers with for a day, dead or alive?
Elvis, without a doubt. I've been a huge Elvis fan since I was 6 years old, and I'd probably ask him something along the lines of, did he ever feel like someone was actually looking after Elvis the person? Because he was so generous to everyone else, and he was just a icon that changed the world, really, and I don't think he actually understands how big he really is.
I love it. Nah, well said, Elvis.
Very good.
Very good. As we go to, here we go, God's Country, Meadows. We got Ty there. G'day, Ty.
G'day, boys. How you going?
Good, mate. The one person you'd love a couple of froths with, Spute.
Well, it's been and gone, but lucky enough, about 8 or 9 years ago, a mate of mine won a fully all-expenses-paid
2-day trip to Port Lincoln on a fishing charter.
Oh yeah,
And we weren't informed at the time, but we get to the Adelaide Airport and we roll in there and met a few of the Farmers Union iced coffee legends. Then we sort of said, "Well, hang on, who's the celebrity that's joining us?" And we walk into the airport bar and Darren Jarman's got about 8 Imperial pints lined up. we then got chartered over to Port Lincoln and we stroll into this marina apartment. And he said, "Oh, the food's in the fridge, boys." So we go and look in the fridge and it is stacked from front to back with crownies.
Oh, Christmas. How was that? So I loved it.
They got finished and then we said, "Oh, we've run out of grog. We better go to Roo's Bar." And off we go to the Port Lincoln Hotel. And I tell you what, she was all on.
Oh, that's brilliant. Absolutely love that. Hang on the line right there. That's good. That'd be better than having it with Andrew Jarman anyway. Right?
Who? Much. Oh, if there was one brother you could spend the day with, it definitely Darren.
Triple M.
This motorsport update with Rusty is brought to you by Bendix Brakes. Put your foot down with confidence.
Our man Greg Russ dominating Rusty's Garage podcast, which you can get for free if you don't mind on the listener app. Rusty, good morning to you.
Morning, guys.
Fake water in the foam arena. Drivers hanging out with Tom Brady and Michael Jordan. This week's Miami F1 GP looks like it's got it all.
It does. I mean, it feels like it's gone next level. This thing is unbelievable. So the track is around the Miami Dolphins Stadium for a starter. You've talked about some of the A-listers there. You can add to that today, Daniel Ricciardo has had James Corden from Carpool Karaoke as his press officer.
Wow.
So James has been in the scrum kind of talking to the press while Daniel's doing all the interviews. It's unbelievable, guys. So first impressions of the track are that it's fast. Ferrari was good in that first practice session. Mercedes looked better as well. So I think we're in for a cracking GP.
Oh, it's going to be a beauty. And a big shock in the supercars with the Bathurst winning team switching camps next year after decades in the Holdens. No. Rusty.
This is massive. So Ryan Walkinshaw, who is a significant part of the Walkinshaw Andretti United team, they were, in a previous iteration, they were the famous red Holden team. They bleed red, those guys. Now, they've been in America with the Ford executive to announce in the last 24 hours that they are going to be in Mustang for the next generation of supercars. So this is a huge, huge move. They've had senior executive from Ford there internationally or in America under sort of scoring the significance of this decision. And Ryan has done an open letter to fans saying they have not taken this decision lightly, but it's a huge change for them, guys, after many years in Holdens.
And Rusty, some grubby stuff on socials have been leveled at the umpire in the supercars. This is a disgrace.
Yeah, sure.
100%. So the guy in question is Craig Baird, who has a very, very accomplished CV as a driver. So he is what we call our driving standards observer or advisor to the panel of stewards in race control. In the wake of a decision in Perth last week, he's been hit with some horrible stuff on social media that is just dead set wrong. Now Chas Mostert has led the charge, the call for calm here, reminding people there's just no social hate, guys. You boys know your sport.
Yep.
We don't necessarily like the umpire at times. That's just part of sport, right? But we need these people. Follow your team. Wear your colours with pride. Have a view. No one wants it to be vanilla, but don't make it personal. That stuff's just total rubbish, and the sport's better than that.
Well said.
Yep, spot on, Rusty. Thank you so much, mate, and enjoy the rest of your weekend.
Cheers, guys. Thank you.
That's Rusty for Bendix Brakes. Put your foot down with confidence.
104.7 Triple M. You can get us on the listener app as well. LISTNR. This is Dead Set Legends. Tom Rockliffe, Cal Ferguson and Tom are here until 11:30 this morning and then Triple M rocking football. The time has come. We've been teasing it. We've been talking about it all morning and I cannot wait for what's about to happen here, Fergie, because we tried to do the sneaky and play a little prank on our good mate here, Tom Rockliffe.
Yeah, we did and we enlisted a bit of help to try and get it over the line and the big fella Saw straight through it, but it took him a little bit of time. And we got what we wanted out of it quite early on. But so I'll tell you what, Adelaide Tools were busy this week because he's been throwing knives. He's been driving screws into people.
Big time.
Whacking people with hammers. You name it, he's been into them.
100%. So what we did was, because Rocky's come in here, all guns are blazing. Obviously signed here at Triple M late last year. Massive contract. And basically, in that contract, it must just say, clip everyone.
Yes.
From on air, off air, promotions. The poor lady in reception, he walks straight in, he fobs her off like
didn't
a dirty
say
ass.
Hello. No.
Doesn't say at all.
He's got a license.
Yeah, I know. She goes
everywhere.
She goes, g'day Tom, how you going? He's like, you're a bee with an itch. Like it is. Anyway, so we've rung the lovely Michelle in Triple M Perth to try and act like HR. Okay. Try and act like HR and see if we can pull him into line. He finds out pretty early here, and you'll hear this in the audio here, Adelaide. He finds out pretty early that it's a prank. But he believes it's the rush hour, and then he believes that it's breakfast, and then he believes that it's Triple M footy. Yep. He has no idea it is the top-rating Dead Set Legends. Have a listen to this.
Hello.
Tom, it's Rachel here from Southern Cross Austereo's HR department in Sydney. How are you?
Yeah, good, thanks. How are you?
Just putting in a phone call because we've received a few complaints regarding some comments you've made on air about other staff at Triple M there.
Yeah.
I don't want to go into too many details, but there's language around fat shaming, binge drinking, underperformance and other demeaning comments towards the other staff. Do you see how sometimes what you're coming across at could be a little offensive?
I cop that, not the other way around.
So, yeah, what are your thoughts around how you do speak and conduct yourself towards them?
I'm not sure because I'm not across the comments. Comments you're regarding here, but they're quite personal, particularly that Chris Dittmar. He goes pretty aggressively at me.
Off air wise, do you think you have a good relationship with the people around the office, or what would you say about that?
Yeah, pretty good relationships, I'd say.
So you get along with someone, say from reception through to digital content. You don't have any troubles in that area.
Absolutely. I think I'm pretty much well loved everywhere.
Loved. Okay, that's positive. I like that you're positive. Yeah. That's good. Career-wise, you've played football. Would you say you're someone who, are you a leader there or are you a soldier? How did you sort of play and what was your role when you were active?
Whatever was required from me. If I have to be a leader, I suppose at times I was, and sometimes if I have to be a soldier, I was more than happy to be a soldier.
Sure.
It's a shame someone like Rue doesn't just fall into that every now and then, just be a soldier,
do you feel like he's been quite strong in some of the scenarios that you've been through in the office?
Oh, well, I think he's been carried for a fair period of time. He probably still thinks he's a captain, but he's not. He's probably more a soldier nowadays.
Do you think talent-wise he's being carried sort of thing, and but he's still acting as the front man?
Oh, there's no doubt he's been carried for a number of years in everything that he's done. That he's been carrying Chris Dittmar for a few years. It's quite the opposite.
Do you think you come across as a leader when you're in the workspace there? How do you feel? Do you think maybe that's why you may be coming across a little heavy, so these things have come up?
No, absolutely not. I'm right at the bottom of the barrel, just cutting my teeth at the moment, trying to learn off everyone in the industry, and it's been really good. I get to work with Rhett Bigland, who I think is an outstanding talent.
Okay, and excuse me, who's that?
Yeah, well, everyone sort of asks that. Like, he does a bit of boundary riding or something like that. He's not very good at it, but he tries.
Now, just to hone in more, your weekends, I understand, is this the Dead Set Legends you're part of?
Oh, well, that's pretty loose to say I'm part of it. I sort of carry that show.
Sure. Okay, now, there's two names that I've got here that I just need to ask you about. Mark Thomas and Callum Ferguson, you work with them. Do you feel at all like they make the environment seem a little less professional, perhaps, than it should be there? I want to know if there's any outside sort of pressures or forces that are sort of coming in and coming into play with you.
No, I don't think so. I think Tomo's kicking goals at the moment. There's a few people that are a little bit nervous around the office that he might their jobs because he's on four shows, believe it or not. His workload's through the roof, and he's one of the brightest talents on Triple M.
Callum, is he the same, or has he got a bit of an attitude? What's going on there?
No, he's very good talent. He He sees things really well, has an opinion on most things, and he's brilliant.
Look,
he's much better than Greg Blewett.
Look, I'm sure you've had some rocky weeks this year, but surely this must be the rockiest, Tom.
Not at all, because I knew very early on that it was a stitch-up, and I think I played it quite well.
A big thank you to Michelle in Perth. Yes. We're back live as well now, Adelaide. But, you had no idea it was us, though, Rocky?
No, I didn't. I wish I did know it was you too, because I wouldn't have been complimentary at all.
one of the broadest young talents late today.
Far better than Greg Blewett.
Yeah. All right, we're going to wrap the show up next, Adelaide. If you missed that, that'll be live on the listener app, Triple M.